Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and we are currently in the midst of a series on Roman Catholicism and the Bible. And in this week, we're going to be looking at the role of the Pope, examining the claim that the Catholic Church makes that he is infallible when he speaks out on faith and morals. We want to look at both the scripture as well as what history has to say about this subject. I'd like to start by reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, which says, "Test all things, hold fast what is good." We're exhorted in the scriptures to test all things, to make sure that it's truly good, that it lines up with scripture. And if it does, then we hold on to it. If not, we reject it. Also, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, which speaks of the authority of each believer in their right to be able to interpret the scriptures, it says this, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." So here we're told by John that we have the ability, because the Holy Spirit has anointed us and abides in us, to be able to interpret the truth. So you have just as much authority to interpret the Bible as a pastor or as any other religious leader, and you're not subject to their interpretation of the Bible. The Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you into all truth. And that idea, that fact, is going to be extremely important in light of the subject that we're looking at, because the Roman Catholic Church teaches that the church itself is the one that has the true interpretation of the Bible, and the individual member of the church needs to submit to their interpretation. That authority has especially been given to the Pope himself. I want to read a couple of quotes from authoritative Roman Catholic Church sources on the authority of the Pope in the Church. I want to start by reading from Carl Keating, who's a popular Roman Catholic apologist of our generation. He writes in What Catholics Really Believe, Setting the Record Straight, the following: "Catholics are required to hold and to believe all the declared doctrines of the Church." I want to read to you from the Pope's own words one of these doctrines, declaring that the Pope is the one that has the final authority in the Church. I want to read from Pope Boniface VIII, who was Pope from 1294 to 1303. He said the following: "We therefore assert, define, and pronounce that it is necessary to salvation to believe that every human being is subject to the Pontiff of Rome." The Pontiff is another term for the Pope. So in his statement, it says it's necessary to salvation to believe this point. And Cardinal Manning, who's an authority on papal bulls, and a bull is a declared statement or written statement that comes from the Pope, he said this about Pope Boniface's statement. He says it is infallible and beyond all doubt and acts ex cathedra. And the term ex cathedra in Roman Catholic theology means from the seat or chair of the Pope. And that means when the Pope speaks ex cathedra or from his seat of authority, that statement on faith and morals is infallible. But Boniface also went on to say, and I'm quoting from the bull of Pope Boniface VIII, the Unum Sanctum, says, "They who are with me are with the church. If you are not with me, you are out of the church. They are out of the way, the truth, and the life." Then he also went on to refer to himself as the head of the church. Then he also said this: "I alone, despite my unworthiness, act in the name of Jesus Christ. If you are with me, you are with Christ. If you are not with me, you are not with Christ." And see how he lifted these terms that apply to Jesus Christ, that you are out of the way, the truth, and the life, from John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he says that he acts in the name of Jesus Christ. And in Roman Catholic theology, the Pope is the visible head of the church. We have an invisible head in heaven, which is Jesus Christ, and the head of the visible church on earth is the Pope. So he is taking that title, head of the church, but we see both in Ephesians and in Colossians that Jesus is the one that's the head of the church. Quoting from another pope, just so that you would see this is not just an isolated incident of a man that maybe was filled with too much pride, from Pope Leo XIII on June 20th, 1894, he made this claim: "We hold upon this earth the place of God Almighty." That is a blasphemous statement, that he is standing in the place of God Almighty as being the head of the church. Let me read to you from Pope Pius IX, who in 1870 at the First Vatican Council was then claimed to be infallible. That's when the Catholic Church made that decision that the Pope was infallible when he speaks on issues relating to faith and morals. He said this during the Vatican Council on January 9th, 1870. "The Pope is Christ in office, Christ in jurisdiction and power. We bow down before thy voice, O Pius, as before the voice of Christ, the God of truth. In clinging to thee, we cling to Christ." Now, I'm sure if you've read any of your Bible, you say, where in the world are these things supported by Scripture? And the bottom line is they're not. But let me read to you from one portion of Scripture where the Catholic Church would use to support this idea of the infallible Pope. And this is from Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus has a conversation with Peter, and he asks, who do you say that I am? Then verses 16 through 19 read this way. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And from this passage, primarily this passage, the Catholic Church believes that Peter was actually the first pope. He eventually moved to Rome and established the church there and became the Bishop of Rome. And then from that point on, every other individual that was the Bishop of Rome became the leader or head of the church, all from Matthew chapter 16. It doesn't say anything about Peter being the first pope. It doesn't say anything about Peter making any infallible statements. It gives him no authority to be the visible head of the church on the earth. And he's not saying that, Peter, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and if people are not with you, they are not with me. And I do find it interesting, and we will look at the different ways Matthew chapter 16 has been interpreted in history and as well as in the modern-day church. But I do find it interesting, as you continue to read on in Matthew chapter 16, the first statement that's recorded that Peter made after this is far from infallible. And verses 21 through 23 of Matthew 16 read this way. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. This is the first statement that Peter makes after this great blessing's been announced upon him. And then Jesus responded to Peter in verse 23. He said, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things to God, but the things of men. That's how much trust and confidence you could put in a man, where Jesus had to turn to Peter and said, Peter, your thoughts are coming from the devil at this point. So it's definitely not a man that was infallible on the subject of faith and morals, especially here at this time. This was the most important thing that Jesus came to do, was to come and die on the cross, and Peter is trying to stop him from doing that. He did not have the mind of God. So Scripture is absolutely clear that Peter was never given the authority to be the head of the church and was infallible on the subject of faith and morals. And we'll look also at history in light of the history of the popes, where some of them have condemned each other as heretical as well as supported heretical doctrines over the centuries. And so we'll confirm both from Scripture as well as from history that the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church holds is the infallibility of the pope is false. I'd like to read to you some other quotes, some other Catholic writers and other Catholic sources, just so that you realize I'm not misrepresenting what the Catholic Church teaches on the subject of Peter and the Pope. I want to read from Carl Adam, who was a Catholic writer of the 1950s. He wrote a work called The Spirit of Catholicism. And in this work, he said this, faith in Christ, the Church, and Peter, these three things belong together. Where Peter is, there is Christ. So it's these three things, faith in Christ, the Church, and Peter, where it's clear in the Bible that it's faith in Christ and Him alone that brings about salvation. Then quoting from the Council of Trent, in their documents, we read these words. We define that the Holy Apostolic See and the Roman Pontiff holds the primacy over the whole world, and that the Roman Pontiff himself is the successor of the Blessed Peter, Prince of the Apostles, and the true Vicar of Christ, the head of the whole Church, the father of all Christians, and that to him, in the presence of the Blessed Peter, was given by our Lord Jesus Christ full power to feed, rule, and govern the universal Church, as is contained also in the Acts of the Ecumenical Councils and in the Sacred Canons. Then reading also from the Vatican I Council of July 18, 1870, we find the following words. We teach and define that it is a dogma divinely revealed, the Roman Pontiff, when he speaks ex cathedra, that is, when in discharge of the office of pastor and teacher of all Christians, by virtue of his supreme apostolic authority, he defines a doctrine regarding faith and morals to be held by the universal Church, is possessed of the infallibility with which the divine Redeemer willed that his church should be endowed from defining doctrine regarding faith and morals. Such definitions of the Roman Pontiffs are irreformable of themselves and not from the consent of the church. Basically, what this statement has given the Pope is the ability to make a statement relating to faith and morals, and that would be infallible, that every Roman Catholic would have to submit to and believe. They don't have the authority or the right, as we find in Scripture, to test all things, or that we have also the abiding Holy Spirit to teach us all truth so that we don't have to be submitted to what a man would say as the true doctrine is. And so it's a dangerous place. So anything that the Pope would say ex cathedra on faith and morals, a Roman Catholic is to be subject to. And that would place the Pope above the authority of the Word of God. And anytime you place any other authority above the Word of God, then we're in danger. Then we have no ability to be able to come to truth based on what the Scriptures say or some other outside authority. We'd have to take it from an individual, a person. And that is a dangerous place. And all this week, we're going to be examining the authority that the Pope has in the Roman Catholic Church, both in light of Scripture as well as in history. I'd encourage you to be with us. I believe that you'll learn much as well as be encouraged in the Word of God.